Grace to you, peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Holy Father, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Now, what starts as a piece of common sense advice on good manners and a constructive attitude to conversation. Essentially, speech is silver, silence is golden, as my mother used to say. Very quickly, this turns into something a whole lot more serious. St. James, the brother of our Lord Jesus, is not writing a letter to the Christians of Asia Minor in order to improve their social skills or to make them better learners. What he has in view, as he says, is nothing less than the righteousness of God, or as the translation which I read the second reading, the righteousness that God requires. And so this short passage, like much of the rest of James's letter, makes rather uncomfortable reading for us. It's uncomfortable because it catches us out. It accuses us. It puts its finger on our faults and goes for those bits of our life that are particularly, obviously, and undeniably in conflict with God's revealed will. James needed to say it to the Christians to whom he was writing, and he needs to say it to you as well, and to me. Without actually using the word, he is calling us to repentance over our use of our ears and our tongues and over our temperament. The trouble for us 21st century Northern European Christians, of course, is that we live in a society and a culture that's built entirely on the notion of rights. We all have lots of rights. You have the right to life, right to free speech, to assembly, to equal treatment under the law, to trial by a jury of your peers, in this country at least, a right to education, and so on. And if someone acts against our rights, we have recourse to redress through the court if necessary, to make sure that our rights are respected and upheld. Now, don't get me wrong. In a civil society, rights and freedoms are a very good and proper thing. I'm not advocating their abolition. You just need to spend 5 minutes in a place where these rights don't exist to realize just how important they are. Or contemplate the reality, for example, that in the UK, for every 3 live births, one child is deprived of his God-given right to life and is aborted in the name of the lesser freedoms of people already born. And so every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights, and the peace and the comfort and the freedom in which we live is a very fine and entirely unmerited gift from our Heavenly Father, which for which we owe to thank and praise, serve and obey Him. This is most certainly true. Nevertheless, living in such a society, in such a culture, does present a danger to Christians. What I'm really saying is that life in any human society presents a danger to Christians, because we are always prone to conform to the ways of this world in our thoughts, words and deeds, rather than being transformed by the renewal of our minds by the Holy Spirit. And not only in the way that we conduct ourselves in the world, but also in the way that we understand our relationships with one another and even with God. And so we are always tempted to see ourselves primarily in terms of who we are on the earth alongside other people. And this means, among other things, the importance that we put place on seeing and safeguarding our rights and freedoms over against the threats posed to them by others. Now, you are children of God. And this is not the way in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, we do not live by rights and the defense of our rights over against others. In the kingdom of God, we all live entirely by God's indulgence and gift. We do not live according to mutual rights and responsibilities, freedoms and obligations, but according to the gift of God in Christ Jesus. In the world, we are slaves to the fleeting circumstances and happenstances of life and prey to our own passions and desires. In the kingdom of God, we are slaves of righteousness, living in the freedom of the children of God, freedom from sin and its punishment, freedom to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God and a loving servant to the neighbor. There lies true freedom. Because life in this world is, as we all know, ultimately and necessarily, at least to some degree, a dog-eat-dog life. It's easy enough to be friendly with people who fit into our scheme of things, who don't rock our boat, and to bear with circumstances that fit into our plans or within which we can work on our plans. In such a life, we speak those things that suit us, and we listen to those things that please us. And also we close our ears to things that displease us, and we speak against those things that do not suit us. And this is the root of anger. My demand for what I want when I want it. My frustration when the world and other people, and let's face it, sometimes even God, war against my rights, my freedoms, my desires, my passions, my plans, my life, me. Where we feel that the only way that the world can be made right is for us to take control of things and to rage against anything that stands in the way. If God isn't going to sort it out, the government isn't going to sort it out, if the boss isn't going to sort it out, I will sort it out. And in the light of this, it's not hard to see why anger does not lead to the righteousness of God, why Jesus equates anger with murder in the Sermon on the Mount. In the kingdom of God, righteousness does not equate to my rights and to justice for me, as it does in the kingdom of the world, and especially in the kingdom of me. In the kingdom of God, it is the righteousness of God that rules. God's rights, God's justice. And the justice of God demands that it is not your rights that should determine your thoughts, words, and deeds, for every good gift comes down from him, not only to you, but also to everyone else. When you open your mouth too hastily against your neighbor and close your ears to him too soon, when your sense of your justice leads to an outburst of anger, You are setting up your justice against your neighbor. And when you do that, you are taking the place of God, who is the creator and the judge of all things. And by the same token, when you keep silence for the sake of your own comfort, when the name of God is being brought to dishonor by those who blaspheme him and trample on his children, who are your brothers and sisters in the family of God, you are shutting out God from your world for your temporary comfort. And this world, after all, is one that he gave to you as a gift. And so to us all, God in his word is saying to us, repent. So what is this righteousness of God of which the scriptures speak? What is this righteousness of God which we are to choose over self-will and our own anger, our own speaking of our own mind? It's nothing other than the moral universe that God has created. It's a moral universe where good gifts come down from the creator of heaven and earth, who opens his hand to satisfy the desire of every living thing, unless the sun shine and the rain fall on the evil and the just alike. It is a moral universe where God remains without variation or shadow due to change, even as his own creation turns against him and robs him of his glory and honor. And above all, it's a universe where God speaks and goes on speaking, implants and goes on implanting his word of truth into mankind possessed by the father of lies and by their own lies. Where God tenaciously continues to deliver his promise even when it is being constantly rejected or ignored. Where the father of light, who brought light into darkness by his life-giving word, continues to shine his light into the dark recesses of a dying world. Where the father of life continues to implant his word into a world that is dead in his trespasses. And the prince of peace continues to speak peace to a world at war within itself and against its creator. Because God is righteous, because God is concerned with establishing his righteousness, he is willing to waive his right to be rid of every offense against his holiness. And instead, he descends to our defiled, rebellious world in order to fill it with his own holiness, by bringing his life-giving word into our unhearing ears and the healing touch of the body and blood of his son into our unclean mouths, so that he might implant life and holiness, open stopped ears, and make clean what was unclean, where death and defilement formerly reigned. And by this self-giving, life-implanting righteousness of God, by this establishing of God by God of his own will, you also have been brought into a new life, having had your soul saved by his gracious, condescending love in Christ Jesus, who, though he had every right to destroy the unbelieving and godless you, as he destroyed the unbelieving world in the time of Noah and the godless armies of hard-hearted Pharaoh in the Red Sea, drowned your sinful nature, not in order to destroy you, but in order to bring to you new life. He who had every right and the perfect freedom to be rid of you with your hasty tongue and your selective ears and your self-seeking temperament. Instead, plant it, his word, in your ears and place it on your tongue, and gave you his Holy Spirit so that you might become not a child of the father of lies, but a child of God, who is truth. In Christ Jesus, and in Christ Jesus alone, this life is yours now and eternally. The supreme, unmerited gift from the Father of Light, next to which all his other gifts, including your rights and your freedoms, pale into insignificance. And it is by this self-giving life of God that you can have confidence that you live, and that you shall live, and that your life cannot be taken from you by anything or anyone, whatever they do to you in this world. It is by this self-giving life of God that you live, and into this self-giving life it is that you have been called. You are children of God. Once you were like the rest of mankind, fending for yourselves in this dog-eat-dog world. But now you have no need for such self-preservation, since your Heavenly Father cares for you and has promised every good gift to you in his proper time, for as long as you need it. And he has promised you above all, and delivered to you, and this morning delivers to you personally into your ears and into your mouth, a gift that cannot be taken away, which is for now and forever in Jesus Christ. And so you no longer need to assuage the gods of this world, or to justify yourselves before the true God, let alone other people. For our Lord Jesus Christ has conquered all the gods of this world. He has convicted the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And they now lie convicted and under his feet. He did this when he fulfilled the demands of God's justice by his completed work on the tree of the cross. When he said, "It is finished," all was completed for you too. And through faith in him, you are pure and holy, entirely righteous and just, with every demand of the law satisfied already. And so you do not need to struggle against your neighbor in thought, word, and deed. You're free, freed by Christ from such struggles. You're free from all the filthiness and rampant wickedness that is staining and slaying a humanity created in God's image. And you are bought by the precious blood of his Son and brought into something far greater than a set of, or a bill of, rights. You have been brought into the freedom of the children of God. Flee therefore from the passions of the world. Flee from self-seeking, from immorality, from anger and wickedness, all of which is nothing but a form of idolatry, and all of which, if it is allowed to reign in your life, leads to death, eternal death. Flee from them to the Word of God, which is powerful to absolve you of all your sin against him and against your neighbor, which has the power to equip you for a godly life, a holy life in righteousness, which has the power to save your souls from Satan, from the world, and greatest miracle of all, even from yourselves. For in that word, the Lord Jesus Christ himself is present, and the Spirit of God is exercising the power of God in love, breathing life into you, healing all your diseases, and strengthening you in all your weaknesses. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Allow him to instruct you, to correct you, to guide you and to lead you. In him, and by the power of his word, you have already been made into a kind of first fruits for the harvest of the kingdom of God. For when that word was implanted in you, you were implanted into him who is the Word made flesh. When you remain in him, you will receive his life and bear fruit unto eternal life. You are his. You belong to him. He takes responsibility for your salvation, for your standing before God. And in him, you have become another good gift of the Father of light into this world. It's salt, it's light, in whose good works the world sees the work of God and the gift of God, and is brought to give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And this is not based, like too many things are, on a self-assessment and a final score at the end of it. But this rests rather entirely on our resting in the promises of God, in the love of God in Jesus Christ, and the growing knowledge and confidence day after day that he who has called us is just and good, who does not sell his word or his promises short, and does not break his promises. And so we give thanks that in his righteousness God did not regard his rights or our responsibilities as the measure of his righteousness, but that he has taken it into his hands entirely. And that in his hands our lives are hidden with Christ in God. And come what may, and however our lives turn out on this earth, we have already won the victory. And we are simply enjoying the first taste of a life of everlasting joy and peace. So may God guard you by his grace. Continue to cause his word to grow in your hearts, and lead you to live in that word and by that word until all things are fulfilled. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.